Welcome to Dear Alice, a lifestyle approach to interior design.
Before we get to today's topic, we first wanted to say at Alice Lane, we truly believe that you should have spaces in your home you love. And these spaces also flow seamlessly with your lifestyle. This can be difficult to achieve, so we knew we needed to create something for you, our home furnishings design service. We have a team of skilled designers who will work with your budget, help you space plan, and curate each piece down to the very last layer to transform your home. The most amazing part is this service is complimentary. Our designers are available nationwide, and they'll work with you in store, in home, virtually, or over the phone. For more details and information, email us at designrequest@alicelanehome.com or call us at 800-423-7757 or click the link in our show notes. Again, that's designrequest@alicelanehome.com or just call us at 800-423-7757. Now back to the podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dear Alice. Today, we are talking about trends we think should go.
We have lots of opinions about this.
It's very polarizing.
So don't be offended. Yeah. If you have this and you love it, you do you. That's great. That's the beautiful thing about interior design.
We
definitely have some opinions to share.
And this was kind of got sparked in our idea bank. When we were looking at an article in Elle Decor, and it was named 10 Designers Share What Trends Need to Disappear Forever. And so naturally this caught our eye and we were like, I'm curious to see if we agree or disagree. So these are some of the greats, people that we look up to and we've all heard of. And so we'll let you know which designer it was and what they thought should go forever and what our thoughts are on that topic. So kind of polarizing, but I think it's going to be fun.
And look up these designers. I think that's always a good idea for you as a listener to like kind of study them and see like if you align with their design style.
Yes.
And then you really understand if you would agree or not agree with them, you know,
like everybody has a different point of view too, right? So when you see some of these people and they're like classically trained, very extraordinary designers, pedigree designers, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. I can see why.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I should probably trust them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay.
Cool. The MC.
Yes. That is me. Sorry. I forgot we're doing that. So the first one is from Ashley Hicks. Do you guys want to talk about Ashley for a second or no?
Yep. Son of David Hicks. I think all y'all are familiar with David Hicks,
Ashley,
right?
Ashley is a man out of the UK and the great, great David Hicks. It's his son. David Hicks has been dead since the 80s, right?
No, in 98, I think he passed away. 98. But I remember studying him in school, his sketches. Uh-huh. Anyway, brilliant British interior decorator and designer.
Yeah.
I always think, especially like with the old cats, they're always just like a decorator and a designer. And I love that because people are like, we're not decorators, we're designers. But I'm like, if you're good, you're both.
Yeah.
You are good at both. And you design it and you decorate it.
Yeah.
So anyway, side note, what does he think? What does Ashley, his David Hicks son, think needs to go?
Feature walls. So maybe explain feature walls too. Because when I first heard it, I thought of like an accent wall, but... Oh.
I think it's different. I think the accent wall is like, I painted one wall red in my room or I wallpapered one wall and you're like, oh no, why'd you quit? So I think the feature wall is I decided to put brick on one wall in my room using the thin brick. And you're like, oh no, finish your work. Or, I don't know. It's usually some sort of texture.
I feel like it's more an architectural finish, be it like finish work or something, but they just do it on one wall.
I still think people are doing shiplap on one wall maybe, or.
I think we see a lot like on a bed wall. I'll see this on Pinterest and stuff. And I'm just like, they'll just do like this, the headboard wall.
Yeah.
And they'll do finish work and they'll paint it in one color. They'll paint it the rest of the walls and that wall the same color, but they did this finish work to make it seem neater and it's not.
Yeah.
And
they should have just done the whole room.
Just do the whole room or do without and could do great art.
Definitely.
So we agree with you, Ashley.
Yeah. Agreed. We think no to feature walls.
Yeah.
The next is from Drew McGookin. Did I say that acronym?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Macrame is what he says should go.
Totally. You know what? This is surprising. Drew is really fun. He's a New York City designer. Mm-hmm. Very funny. He's a fun follow on Instagram. I agree. Macrame is something out of the 70s. I remember my mom and dad making their own sort of wall hangings mm-hmm. that would hang above like the off-white leather sofa mm-hmm. in our family room. And then there'd be smaller ones on each side of it.
Cute.
But it was like, I don't know. I felt like maybe was it normal to us because my parents did it, or was everybody doing it? I don't know. I can't see. It seems like very anthropology.
Yes. Yeah.
Like it's a boho movement.
Sort of, yeah. Hippie chick and all
your
of
teenage
that.
Daughters probably love it.
Yes.
Let's just say that. They probably collect succulents. Bracelets.
Yeah.
And they have macrame on their wall and like that. And their mattress is on the floor because they prefer to live that way.
Yeah.
Even though you have a headboard.
And they refuse to wear shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All times. Yeah.
And they braid their hair.
Yeah. They're probably burning incense. That's a big thing right now. So.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. What do we care? Let them hang macrame on their wall. But you as the grown up.
Teenage Suzanne would have done it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think as a grown up, like, don't be doing this in your grown up house.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what
this is a side note. This is not one of them, but like just boho in general. Like I've seen that. I feel like that's been around for too long. And that's my opinion. When someone's like, oh, my style's button, they show it. It's like, and it's also just too much.
Yeah. So it's highly feminine also, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And so generally somebody that loves boho is usually just like a single girl in my mind. I don't know. I don't really see her bringing her husband on this boho journey with her.
It's usually been the teenage daughters of clients uh-huh. that have related to the style the most.
Yes.
And so I think it's, you know, probably opposite of what she sees her mother doing.
Yes.
You know,
and she thinks she's just in her own movement.
And she's,
like,
yeah,
she's just like her as a person. And
she's in a renaissance.
Yeah.
And it's totally. Called boho.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really see a lot of grown women making these decisions.
Yeah. If anything, like the adult interpretation of that would be like organic modern. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Where you love plasters and, but it's a much more mature style that you've experienced at resorts in Mexico.
Definitely.
That's not boho to me. That's organic.
Yeah.
And beautiful and long lasting. And yeah,
I agree. There's
like a vacation.
There's this really cool new thing that we're seeing a little bit pop up. It's by an artist called Taylor Kibbe. Taylor, and then Kibbe's Kibbey, I think. Anyway, she's an artist. She's making, it kind of looks like macrame, but it's from ceramic chains. Mm. And they're like these wall hangings, like an installation. You know what I mean? It's not just art stuck in a frame. It's like this beautiful installation of, it looks like loops and loops and loops of rope or fabric, but really they're chains made from ceramic. And some of them are undone and they're like a color because they're like fired in a kiln. And it's so beautiful and really, really, really expensive, mm-hmm. but extraordinary. So in my mind, I'm like, it's definitely not macrame. It's definitely kind of this beautiful undone vibe.
Yeah.
That is really hot. I think it looks really good in Scandinavian homes and more modern homes.
Yeah.
So I think that works, but like the macrame, I'd say at the most, if you do have a modern home, like maybe it's like macrame in the form of a hammock. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe like that's where you pull it off, but you're not doing it on your wall for the most part.
I think the difference of what you're talking about and macrame is that macrame is crafty.
Yeah.
If you see something that's crafty that you can make on a Thursday night while watching a series, mm-hmm. then maybe don't throw it. Like that's fine art.
Yeah.
I think what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I've seen like kind of the same thing. We used to have an employee that would do these like massive installations of these fine cuts on paper. Do you remember that? Kendall. Anyway, she was a fine art degree major and she would like do these paper art and like they were all just like, she would cut just so delicately these incredible grids and patterns and stuff. And they would like hang like from ceiling to the floor and then they would puddle.
Yeah.
And like, that's not macrame.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine art. So if you're drawn to something more ethereal and sculptural, mm-hmm. search out for that, but skip the macrame tab.
Agreed.
Awesome. The next one is from Fern Santini, Suites of Furniture.
Yeah. Fern Santini is a designer out of Austin, Texas. I agree. Suites of Furniture means that your chair matches your sofa, matches Town your decks. Love seat. Yeah.
All and your side tables, your cocktail table.
You could. Yeah. 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 Your side table is definitely like the younger sibling to your cocktail table, to your entertainment unit. They're all the same wood. They're all the same style.
They all have the barley twist leg, you know, or whatever.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. I just, that definitely feels like you bought it out of a big box store. You bought the whole kit and caboodle because you just didn't know what else to
do. Pack her up.
Yeah. And you just, yeah, you put it in and it's one-stop shop and maybe you got to buy lamps at some point, but other than that, it's done.
Or maybe the table came with the lamp.
Yeah.
So
it's just like a look that definitely like a designer would never do because they're going to take the time to more artistically craft.
Curate.
The entire scene. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Curate something that is uniquely you, much like a beautiful outfit, you know?
That reminds me of this place. This is a side note as well, but that was in Provo and I used to drive past it going.
Oak Plus?
No, but, and I would just see this huge sign. This is before I worked at Alistair, I think, or maybe very early on. But they just had like scenes of, you know, and you would just go and buy the whole thing. And it was, called Furnish with a bunch of H's and then It. So you say Furnish It. And I was like, why would you ever name your store that? And it's exactly that. It. Yeah. But so that's what that reminds me of. And that's always been, even before I worked here, I was like, never, I was always turned off by that.
I would say the majority of humans think that that's a great idea though. Cause it's just like, they just might not know.
Maybe
better,
it's a generation too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the younger generation's more like romantic and beg, borrow, steal. And,
and thrift it.
Wherever. Yeah. Like one of my girlfriend's sons shops at what he calls the box store. And she's like, what's the box store? And he goes, oh, we just go in and like, we just pull clothes out of a box. And it's like a, you know, and we call it the DI, but it's
Goodwill or something.
A Goodwill. Yeah. He goes to Goodwill and just like gets used clothes and puts them on. And that's the style right now for kids. I have another friend
who has a
beautiful daughter that's a senior in high school and she goes to the box store and like is wearing some old cowboys, turquoise belt
along
with bell bottom. Yeah, totally. So I think for sure they're more like beg, borrow, steal, throw it together. It's wild. It's fun. They wouldn't want a suite, but we know the generation that would, and they're probably, you know, like
our parents.
Yeah. Our parents are older. And to them, that's like the ultimate sophistication because everything matches for once. Finally. Instead of being like, this is my grandma's sofa that I recovered.
It's and hand-me-downs.
Yeah. Hand-me-downs. Right. Yeah. So today we craft a look and curate a beautiful space, but we don't ever try to match the love seat to the chair, to the sofa.
Yep.
At Alice Lane, we believe that you should have spaces in your home that you love and fit your lifestyle. This can be difficult to achieve, and that's why we created something for you. It's our home furnishing design service. We have a team of skilled designers who will work with your budget, help you space plan, and curate each space down to the very last layer to transform your home. The most amazing part is the service is complimentary. That's free, people. Our designers are available nationwide, and they'll work with you in-store, in-home, virtually, or over the phone. For more details and information, email us at designrequest@alicelanehome.com or call us at 800-423-7757, or you can click on the link in our show notes.
The next one is from Charles Delisle. Did I pronounce that right? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Waterfall countertops.
That's funny that they said this. I think so many people still think it's such a thing.
They're like, oh, this is a designer move. I'm going to have more stone.
Yeah.
It's going to be so sophisticated. It's tired. It's for sure tired.
Yeah.
We've done it in applications where it's done really in a very clever way. Mm-hmm. That I don't even know if people could identify it as a waterfall. Just because we'll do it around a bank of cabinets, you know, and then we'll do it around the next bank of cabinets. You know, anyway.
Yeah. So it's not on the kitchen island.
It's not on the kitchen island.
It seems like it's a kitchen island trick.
Yeah.
But so then you say do it on the cabinetry that's installed against the wall.
Yeah. Because that seems just like that a frivolous way. Detail. And that's what we're all about. I mean? Definitely. And they butt up against a beautiful range. And so you see that like little waterfall exposed edge as it integrates into like with the cabinetry. And that's clever use of a waterfall kind of technique. And so I would say that if you can do it in a clever way or with a ridiculous edge profile or, you know, do something that like switches it up. We've done it where we almost skirt it. Like in Anderson's project, we kind of had it like go almost to the bottom or just, you know, just like shy of hitting the bottom. So it's not a full waterfall, but but then we have another stone that kind of like buries underneath it. So
definitely.
Anyway, it's more complicated when we have applied that technique, but mm-hmm. I think it's a really easy trick for people to understand and be like, it's modern. Mm-hmm. It's cool, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm tired of it in that application.
Too. Yeah, definitely. I think another one that goes along with that, if we skip down to the bottom one with granite countertops, I think that kind of goes hand in hand with this.
Yeah. This is from Veronica Valencia. It's granite countertops and mosaic glass backsplashes. There are so many other cost-effective alternatives.
Amen, Veronica. Cheers.
Yeah. When I think of like the waterfall countertop, I'm like, I can see somebody moving into like a white kitchen or a gray kitchen and they put granite and they're like, well, let's waterfall it for extra money and it will look so rich, you know, but you're like, stay away from granite, especially the granite waterfall. We don't need more granite. And then, yeah, I agree. The mosaic glass backsplashes, I think we could have talked about that like decades ago and said, don't do it.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's a very stuck look. Like you remember when you first saw it and I never want to, I just want to forget it.
Yeah.
I hate it. But I will say if you are in the price point of a granite, and you're looking for it, there are interesting granites. Don't get the one that looks like mystery meat.
Yes.
Don't get the pebbly one.
Yes.
Because that one is just, it's cacophonous for the eye. Don't do it. But there are ones that have just like still some more interesting, larger scale veining. Mm-hmm. And we've seen some of these like pop up and we're like, what is that? And they're like, it's a granite. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Thank the heavens that like there's more than just the one. Mystery brown one that we saw forever. So
definitely. What's our favorite? Is it called Super White?
Super White's a great one. That was like super when marble granite. Started to like, I remember when I first graduated back in like early 2000s and like everyone was starting to kind of like dip their toe with marble, but not fully commit. But they're like, if we could find a granite and Super White was the one and it's more gray, but it's a good alternative. And then there's some darker ones too with a lighter vein. I can't remember all their names, but when you go to your slab yard, just
if you're confused that they're telling you it's granite and you're like, there's no way this doesn't look like granite, then that's probably good. Use that one. Mm-hmm. Yep. If you're doing it for hardness. But I think what she's referring to is you could get quartz probably for the same price as granite, or you know, a lot of other things. Honestly, I feel like even Carrara marble is one of the cheapest things you can buy.
Oh, it's way cheap.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than quartz.
Totally.
It's cheaper than anything. And there's a lot of it.
When I was at the end of my budget building my house in my basement, girls bath and guest bath, I just used Carrara. Cause I was like, I can't spend any more money. This stuff's basic, really, really affordable. So just do that if nothing else, but nobody has to use granite anymore. It's just that it's really tired. And that builder didn't know any better.
Don't you remember like in all the listings, they always say granite countertops.
You know that they still would.
Exclamation point.
They still would today. Yep.
They still do.
Yeah.
Beware. Yeah. You might have to rip those out.
It's nothing to boast. Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. The next one is from Caleb Anderson. It says barn doors and accent walls. There's that accent wall.
Yes. Accent wall is different than the feature wall. Thank you, Caleb, for clarifying. So Caleb is partners with Jamie Drake. And his Drake and Anderson in New York. Jamie's king of color. Drake follows suit. Anyway, they have a beautiful firm. And I completely agree.
Yeah.
I think we just like shudder at barn doors.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I'm going to tell you the saddest story about a barn door.
Tell me now.
Tell me. My brother Jake was like, you're going to go help my other brother with this house. He goes, you got to tell him he can't have a barn door anymore for his powder bath. Mm-hmm. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, how do you lock it? Can you imagine the horror of being a guest going to the bathroom in somebody else's house? Also, it's like an inch or two off the ground.
And the wall.
And the wall.
The hardware on the
suckers. So you feel like you're on display trying to relax to go potty in somebody's house.
Like going potty in an H&M. Dressing room.
It's just, truly. It's so loud. It's so unprivate. And you can't really lock it. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
So you're just like, no, you know what? I'm good. I'll hold it. I'll go at the nearest gas station after we're done at your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he doesn't know. So he's like, listen, when you go out there to help him with his house, tell him he absolutely needs to get a proper door.
Candid.
On that powder bath. Isn't that crazy?
No, I would rather have a pocket door. If you don't have the room like to swing out, then do a pocket door. We have like in a couple instances again we'll break our own rule where we have done a door, but we've, it doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
At all. We've done like glass ones or, you know, things like that where it's applicable, but definitely not on a bathroom.
No.
Oh, show. Like, do not do that.
Yeah.
So, and accent walls. Yeah.
Accent like wall is basically like if you paint a wall or wallpaper one wall in the room, leave the rest white or basic.
Biggest offender.
Yeah. Yeah. It just feels like you ran out of money.
Yep.
Yeah.
You lined one side of your lip.
Yes.
Just one.
Yeah. You're
like, one quarter of it because you didn't, finish the rest of it.
Envelop the room. Go for it. Yes. We totally agree with you.
And I dare you, if you do see one, I dare you to not look at anything except where the two wall colors meet. Every single time. That's a tension line, guys. Yeah. When you see accent wall and something else or any surface like that, any accent wall, like it's offensive. Go. Mm-hmm. Next. That's
Natalie Crame. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but she said Edison light bulbs.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yep. Alice Lane at the early stages when, you know, transitional design was so new
to
Utah.
The year was 2008.
Circa 2008.
Uh-huh. I had a little bit of spiky hair going on in the back.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe an asymmetrical. I don't know if I hit that spot yet, but.
Yeah, it's, you know what, we have a lot of regrets about this, but Edison bulbs were really cool and it was a way to sort of warm up the room. This is before these energy efficient light bulbs that were super, super white were happening. And so you're like, what an awesome party trick. You could take your basic chandelier and bring it to this really cool current state or any lamp and just
take it to a vintage state with the Edison bulb.
Yes,
right? Definitely. Which is very cool.
I agree. That's
restoration. That everyone remembers that. Like, and they still do. He's quite a few.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah. Of the Edison.
They even make now an energy efficient Edison bulb that looks like it and flickers, but it's not like true Edison. If you want to just keep the party going, but nobody needs that.
Yeah.
Don't do it, guys.
Yeah. And it doesn't light up much, guys. It's not going to give you much light.
Yeah.
So, yep. Okay.
The next one is from Young Hu. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yep.
Okay. Man, I'm doing good at these.
Good job.
Yeah. Neon signs for art.
I don't know. I don't feel like this is as tired. Maybe it's just because we saw AD Open Door and it was Gwyneth Paltrow's home. It's so awesome, guys. You probably just saw that like a few months ago. She had this beautiful pink neon moment written in hand scripted and double underlined. And I was like, oh, I'm dying to know what that says. Cause you know, she has conviction about whatever it is she's doing. So, and we did just have like a couple of preteens. We're working on their bedrooms that are just like die for a neon sign. Mm-hmm. So I get that it's not for everyone, but I don't know that it's super out.
Not either. I feel like every new restaurant around these parts in the Utah, has like a wall that looks like fake grass with a neon sign in front of it, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's getting a little tired for me. Cause I'm like, everybody wants a photo op, you know, for Instagram.
Oh yeah. And like so, it's like a living plant wall,
but it's fake. And then they have a neon sign on top of that. Yeah. I'm kind of sick of that, but I think in clever application, I think you can break this rule, guys. And so we did this in Tiger Oak, you know, and it was awesome and it was custom. You know, with a saying that she says, and we're doing it right now in Dallas behind this like rad soda bar with a really like cool line from Hey Ya, you know? Uh-huh. So anyway, I think it's just how you do it. I think it's clever. And I think especially like for teenagers too, it's really fun, you know? Ooh, and like definitely. That light that comes off of it when all the other lights are off, it's a party trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So that was actually the last one. So now we have a listener question. If you want to get to that, Jess.
So there's one that Sue and I wanted to address and it had to do with this listener question. And that was, number 10 for us is white walls just like, I don't know. It feels like we're in a state where everybody's just built the modern farmhouse and they've decided to paint their walls and ceilings and everything else just white. And we did get a question from a listener that we're like, oh, we should throw this in. She wants to know, she just recently purchased a home. The ceilings used to be really beautiful, high, high pitch ceilings, all used to be made from pine. And the homeowner painted them a really, really vivid white, cool white to try and cover the pine, which we understand that problem.
Yeah.
Those warm woods just want to peek through. So she did three coats of it. And now that she's assumed the home from the old homeowner that's painted that ceiling white to update the home. She's like, should it be a warmer white? Should the whites start to become warmer? Should they be more organic, or are these cool whites still a really hot thing? And I think because we've seen it so much, the white everywhere, it feels like they kind of phoned it in, right? Mm-hmm. The exterior of the home is white because it's a modern farmhouse, you know, but there's nothing really farmy about it. It's just very, very white. Yeah. So are the walls, the ceilings, everything. And then usually there's like a white oak floor. So they're just super, super bright spaces that kind of lack personality and originality. And I think it's done. I think it's kind of tired.
Unless you have the layers. Obviously I have white. Mm-hmm. In her applications, yes, I think you should paint it a warmer white.
Yeah.
Your ceilings. And then your cabinetry is also, I think, a bright white.
Yep.
Too. So like maybe tone that down too, to like more of a taupe or, you know, something more interesting. So it all doesn't bleed together. It becomes more, I think, dynamic of a space.
And a little bit more sophisticated, or it has a more organic, rich story to it.
It looks like a designer touched it instead of just spraying the whole thing.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
Yeah. I have white walls. I have white ceilings. I have white floors. Mm-hmm. And I did that for a specific reason, because of my house is shorter ceilings. It's 8 foot and it's like smaller with these like interesting, 1970s, right guys? Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of art. And so I'm like, I knew that for that to make sense, that's what it needed to happen. I needed to Guggenheim it, you know, mm-hmm. and paint everything just like a gallery in my public spaces.
Yeah.
And then I went colorful. So in that application, if you have a really interesting collection and you know what you're doing, then I think that's okay. But even then I didn't do a bright white. You do like steam and Benjamin Moore, which is a lot warmer.
Definitely.
So yeah, I think we will always go to a warmer white, but I think the era of bright white, and especially in these new homes where they're young, they don't have collections yet. It just feels like I'm going crazy.
I also don't feel like your space feels overwhelmingly white, because it's not like you have can lights in the ceiling.
No.
You know what I mean? And so you just don't have an overall super bright feeling when you're in there. It's still sophisticated. And then, like you said, your walls are covered in art. Your stairwell is covered in a rug that's hanging on the wall. And then your furniture is colorful. Your rug is pink, you know? Yeah. So I think that your collection is so robust and dynamic that it does feel more like an art gallery in a warm organic space than just overall white with can lights and huge windows and a white exterior. And like, guys, there's another color on the planet.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's a good reset. If you're trying to figure out your color, you can start with it maybe.
Yeah.
But go warmer and then figure out what else it needs for layering.
Yeah. That's great. I love that. Cool. Well, that is all the trends that we think should go. Thanks, Elda Kaur. That was super fun to hear what other experts think should go as well. And for the most part, we totally agree. If you guys have any questions, or we can do a whole podcast on it, or we'll even just put it in with our listener cues if it's a shorter answer, just send that to DearAlice@AliceLaneHome.com. And thanks for listening.
We've always wanted everyone to have some of Alice Lane in their home. So we've created a program where you can have one of our design specialists help you pull your home together one room at a time. They will help you space plan and source each piece down to the very last layer. And get this, these services are complimentary and offered nationwide. For more details and information, email us at designrequest@alicelanehome.com, or you can give us a call at 800-423-7757. Again, email us at designrequest@alicelanehome.com or call us at 800-423-7757. We are so excited to work with you.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you like our show, please leave a 5-star rating.